Morning at today's Daf and Sanhedrin. Samach Aleph, we are starting today on Samach Amud Beis. We did the Mishnah yesterday. We just did the first part of the Gemara. Just a quick recap. The Mishnah is very straightforward. Mishnah is talking about Avodah Zarah, but again, Avodah Zarah in terms of Mises Bidei Adam, meaning we're talking about when a person is going to be subject to the death penalty. Remember, a person can be over to Avodah Zarah and not be subject to the death penalty, meaning he has to be very specific in order to be Chayiv Misa. So what are we discussing in the Mishnah? So if you remember yesterday, we said that if you do one of the Avodas in the Beis HaMikdash, you shecht an animal for Avodah Zarah, meaning any of the things that would have been done in the Beis HaMikdash, you just simply applied it to Avodah Zarah. So you shecht an animal, you're makir of the animal, you do nisuch. So if you do anything that would you do Zrikas Hadam, so you do anything that would be considered an avoda, and you do it towards the Avodah Zarah, so that is it results in an immediate Chiyuv Misa. So that even though it's not the way that this particular Avodah Zarah is worshipped, it doesn't matter, you're subject to the Misa Bidei Adam if you do one of the Avodas towards the Avodah Zarah. On top of that, what else did we learn yesterday? Is that you're going to be subject to the Misa penalty if you're over the Avodah Zarah in the way that it's normally worshipped. And even if that way of normally worshiping is unusual, and even if it's more than unusual, even if it's something which is degrading, but this is the way that this Avodah Zarah is worshipped in this degrading manner. Gemara yesterday, the Mishnah yesterday gave us two very, very strange examples. These are the classic examples of degrading means of worshiping. So the Baal Peor, how do you worship Baal Peor? So you defecate in front of the Avodah Zarah. How do you worship Marculus? So you take three stones, you pile them up in a simple pyramid, in a simple triangular pyramid, and then you throw stones at it. So obviously this is not, all of this is not normal, but I'm saying aside from it being not normal, it's degrading, it's derech bizayon, but yet, that's the way that it's worshipped. And because that's the way that it's worshipped, so then one would be chayev misa bidei adam, subject to the death penalty. That's what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. Good. Minan imili, we are starting now in the Gemara where we left off yesterday. And for we have really two sukkahs that we're going to go through today. The first sukkah that we're going to go through today is drashas and psukim, meaning that's just a simple question of where does all this come from? It's not that simple, but that's the first sukkah that we're doing today. And the second sukkah we're doing today, the second half of today's daf, is going to be a steerer between our mishnah that we just learned and the mishnah on Samach Zayin. Okay, so two sukkahs coming up in the course of the daf. Let's go with sukkah number one. Minani Mila, the Gemara says, how do I know this? Tanu Rabbanan, we are right in the middle of Samach Amud Beis. Ilo Nemar Zoveach Yecharam. Now, if the Torah would have said Zoveach Yecharam, now that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says Zoveach Leluhim Yecharam. But had the Torah just simply said Zoveach Yecharam, Ha'isi Omer B'Zoveach Hashem B'Chutz HaKas Medaber, I might have thought as a Havamina that the Pasuk is describing Shchut Echutz. Tam Alomar Leluhim B'Zoveach Lavodis Kochav M'Kas Medaber. So the Pasuk inserts the word Leluhim, which means that what you were Zoveach to, what you Shechted to, was to another God, and Yecharam. Yecharam means that you are going to be put to death. Cherem, the word cherem by itself could have a couple of understandings. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, right? Cherem hektesh, for example. But in our context, obviously it's bad, and not it's more than just bad. It means yecharam, you yourself are going to be killed. You're subject to the death penalty. Okay, so what do I now know? I have pasuk number one that tells me, zovech lalim yecharam, that if you shech towards Avodah Zarah, yecharam, you yourself are going to be killed. Now, ainly ala zovech mikata menasech minayin. Okay, but that's just zvicha, that's just shechting the carbon. How about doing other forms of avoda? So, for example, kitur, burning the animal towards avoda zara, nisuch, libation. So, how do I know that these activities are also going to be included? Tam alamer bilti lashem lavado. In other words, the pasuk goes on to say, you must dedicate this service towards Hashem. What does that mean, this service? Rikan ha'avodas kulun l'shem ha'miyuchad. Meaning all the services that were dedicated towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything that's recognized in the Beis HaMikdash, if you take one of those recognized activities, what we would call avoda, so if you do that and you apply it to Avodah Zarah, that's also included in Zoveach L'Elohim Yecharam. Now, l'fish yafzot zvicha lidom ba'avodas panim, minayin l'rabbas yishtachava. Now, how do I know also to include bowing as well? Interesting. Bowing is not an avoda. It's not. Now, bowing obviously certainly shows that you honor something, but it's not formally an avoda. So if I bow to Avodah Zarah, so that's also the death penalty, but where does that come from? And it's not coming from the pasuk of Zaveich Elohim Yecharam, because bowing is not an avoda. So Tamalomar v'yelech v'yavod Elohim acharim v'shechavu lahem, usmich levotzeis eseshehu v'chule. So in other words, that comes out from a different part of the Torah, notably Parsha Shoftim. In Parsha Shoftim, the Torah there describes that you bowed to the Avodah Zarah, and then immediately following Votzeis Asei Shehu, the person's going to be taken out and stoned. So that from that series of Pesukim, we now know that Hishtachavaya is also going to be a Chiyuv Misa Bidei Adam. It's a capital punishment. So Onesh Amana Azar Minayin. Okay, now just to fill in the rest of it, we see this time and again in Sanhedrin. This is a recurring theme that you can't punish somebody unless you also have a pasuk that speaks out the iser as well. So Tam Alam Kidlos Nishachavela El Acher. So the Gemara says, go to Parshas Kisisa, where there the Torah tells you that you're not allowed to bow to another god. Yachoshani Marbe Hamagaf Vamanashik Vamano. Okay, so now what do we have? A pasuk that speaks about doing the Avodah Torah to Avodah Zarah. Right, Zivuach, Kitur, Menasech, that's a capital crime. We have another pasuk that bowing to Avodah Zarah is also going to be a capital crime. What about if you honor the Avodah Zarah in another way? For example, you hug the Avodah Zarah, you kiss the Avodah Zarah, you dress the Avodah Zarah. So the Torah says, yeah, these are not going to be capital crimes. Now let's be clear. Obviously, it's forms of Avodah Zarah. You're hugging and you're kissing an idol because you have believe in its force and its and you think it's a deity. So that obviously is bad. It's obviously wrong. It's obviously usur. But what the Gemara over here is just excluding it from is just misa bidei adam. It's not a capital crime. Now what the Gemara is doing is the Gemara is explaining. How do I know that? So I turn back to the pasuk of Zoveich Lelum Yechara. So Zoveich Zvicha Bechla Haisa. It was part of this entire discussion. V'lama Yatza. Why does the Torah speak out Zvicha? L'haki Shalev. V'lama Lacham. Zvicha Miyuchedet Sheyavoda Penim. V'chayav Nala Misa Afkol Sheyavodas Penim. V'chayav Nala Misa. So basically what it does is it serves as a binyanav, it serves as the model, in which the only time that a person would be subject to the misa penalty is only if the person is doing something which is an avoda towards the avoda zara. So if he does zivuach or any of the other avodas to the avoda zara, he's going to be subject to the misa penalty. But if he does anything else, even though it's begeder kavod, right, hugging and kissing the avoda zara for sure is kavod, but because it's not zvicha and it's not avoda, so therefore one is going to be, one is not going to be subject to the capital punishment. Yasa yishachava li dam ba'atzma. Now what about yishachava? Yishachava is on an island, meaning it's on its own separate island. So yasa zvicha li dam ala klal kulo. And zvicha is coming to teach about the general rule. So basically here's how the braisa ends up. We have basically two distinct isurim, not just isurim, but chayve misas adam. Two capital punishments as it relates to Avodah Zarah. One is doing an Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash towards the Avodah Zarah. Two is bowing to the Avodah Zarah. Now we know that on both of these occasions, a person is going to be subject to the capital punishment. Here's what the Braisa just got done teaching us. That in the event that a person does anything that is Zvicha-like towards the Avodah Zarah, meaning not just Shechting, but Nisuch, Haktara, Nisuch, Haktara, Zrika Saddam. So if you do anything which is Avoda-like, you're always going to be subject to the to Misa Bidei Adam, and even if it's not dark, even if it's not dark, even if that's not the normal way in which it's worshipped. Now, Hishtachavaya, yes, a person is going to be subject to the death penalty by Hishtachavaya, but that doesn't translate to anything else. Meaning, even if I were to hug, or to kiss, or to do anything else, which is a non-avoda activity towards the avoda zara, even though it's certainly b'derech hakavod, one is not going to be subject to the misa b'dei adam. And so, hishtachavaya is kind of like on its own little separate island. Meaning, avodas panim is going to affect every avoda zara, and it will result in a capital punishment. Hishtachavaya, on the other hand, exists on its own little island. To which now the Gemara is going to discuss a couple points of this braisa. Amar mar ha'isi omer b'zovechash b'chutzakos medaber. So let's go back to the first part of the braisa. When we first introduced ourselves to the pasuk of Zovech Olehim Yacharam, so the Gemara had expressed a havamina that's talking about shchut echutz. So Zovech kashim b'chutzakos medaber. So Zovech kashim b'chutz karisu. So the Gemara says, what kind of Havamina is that? It's a strange Havamina. Meaning, even if we would have thought, we would have entertained that it's not talking about Avodah Zarah, I really would have thought that's talking about Shchut Echutz. Shchut Echutz is an Isser Kares. It is not a capital crime. There's no capital punishment. And so why would have I entertained the idea that's talking about Shkut Echutz? So Sakadat Kamina, Kiasrabe Katala, Kilo Asrabe Kavris, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? In the Havamina, I would have thought that if I do Shkut Echutz and I do it without a warning, so that's Kavris. But if I receive a warning and I accept the warning, and I still violate Shchut Echutz, I shecht a carbon outside the base of Mikdash, so then maybe would have been a Misa, a Chiv Misa. Okay, so that's the Gemara says, that would have been the Havamina. Okay, Amalei Rava Bar Rav Chanan La'Abaye. Eima Yatzai Shachval Lamed Al Klal Kulo. Now, the Gemara entertains now the following question. Now, we're going to entertain this question for almost an entire Amud, at least half of the next Amud. You see, as we noted just a couple of moments ago, there really are two different psukim that speak to capital punishment. One by Hishtachavaya, and the other one by Zoveach. And what do we say? Zoveach is really the Binyanav. That really translates to all Avodah Zarah, and all forms of Avodah's Panim, where if I do it towards an Avodah Zarah, that's it. Yochai Misa. Even if it's Eino Darka Bakach. And we said Ishtachavaya? No, that's an exception. The Gemara says, why don't we flip that entire discussion? Ishtachavaya, that's the general rule. And the Zoveach is really the exception. Now, if Ishtachavaya is the general rule, what does that mean? Anytime I do something towards Avodah Zarah that honors the Avodah Zarah, you're going to be Chayv Misa. How did the Braisa know that Zoveach was the general rule? And that Ishtachavaya was the exception. Maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe it's just the other way around. That is the question the Gemara is entertaining, and we're going to be entertaining this question for a little bit of time. So Amalei Rava Baruch Hanu La'Abaye, Ema Yatzei Ishtachavaya La'Amad Al-Klal Kulo. So let's say that Ishtachavaya is really the klal. And again, just to reiterate, if it's the klal, if it's not, but if it's the klal, that would mean that any honoring service of the Avodah Zarah would be subject to the Misa. So if you kiss the Avodah Zarah, that's a Chiv Misa. If you hug the Avodah Zarah, that would be a Chiv Misa. That's if. Now, v'chitem a zoveach lama li legufe. So the Gemara says, now, what are we going to do with zoveach? Meaning, of course, if Hishtachavai is a klal, I wouldn't even need the pasuk of zoveach, right? Because what's zoveach? I'm shechting an animal to Avodah Zarah. Is that honor? Sure, that's honor. So I wouldn't even need the pasuk. What would it come to serve? Gemara says, no, the pasuk would still have a function. And what would be the function of the pasuk? The mechashma me avoda lavoda. So the function of the pasuk of zavech is to teach me halacha of mechashma me avoda lavoda. The Idmar, the Gemara here quotes the following machlokas. Hashochi behemla lizrog dama lavodas kochavim. Let's say I do the following: I shecht an animal, and with the shechita, I don't plan on actually serving the avodah zarah with the shechita. But here's what I do. Here's what I do when I shecht the animal. I say while shechting the animal, you know what? I'm going to collect the blood of the animal that I'm just shechting, and I'm going to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah. So while doing one Avodah, I now forecast that I'm going to, in a future Avodah, be serving the Avodah Zarah. So does that work? Now when I say does that work, what do I mean by that? I mean, are you going to be Chayav Misa in such an activity? The shechting is not for the Avodah Zarah, but in the shechting I'm forecasting to a future Avodah. So, or lahakir chava, lavodas kochavim, or same basic idea. While shechting, I'm thinking about how I'm going to be burning the chalav of this animal towards the avodah zarah. So, Rav Yochanan amar asur reshakish amar muter. Reshakish says it's asur. I'm sorry. Rav Yochanan says asur. Reshakish says muter. According to Rav Yochanan, it basically goes like this.
It's just a
kavana. According to Rav Yochanan, it basically goes like this. Yes, I can do an avodah now and forecast a future avodah. We have this idea as it relates to the Machshavas Pigel. What do we know by Pigel? That, first of all, what is Pigel? Pigel is where I shecht the carbon. Now, it's not going to be me because it's going to be a Kohen. But a Kohen shechts the carbon, and he has a Machshava of either Chutzim Zman or Chutzim Kamo. That we know every carbon has a prescribed time and place and where it can be eaten. And he says when he shechts the animal, I plan on eating the animal outside its prescribed time. So that animal now is going to be rendered pigle. Anyone who consumes from that animal is subject to the Kari's penalty. Okay. Now, we know that by pigle, mechashven me avoda la avoda. Even if your machshav is not going on this avoda, but it's going on another avoda, all the avodas of the carbon are linked together. So basically, you can have a machshava while doing this avoda about another avoda that will be done subsequently. That would work by pigel. That would be effective by pigel. Rav Yochanan is telling us that that same model can be done right here. Meaning when it comes to avodah zarah, the same thing will happen. I'm having a machshava, I'm doing one avodah, not for idolatry, and I'm forecasting now to doing a future avodah for the avodah zarah. And that, according to Rav Yochanan, creates a chiyuv misa for avodah zarah. That's what I would learn now from the pasuk of Zoveach. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, disagrees. He says that the animal is not takrovis avodah zarah. Now, it's interesting, there's a very small tosus on the top of the Amud over here. Tosus is bothered by it's an interesting question. It's really thought-provoking. According to Reish Lakish, who says that the animal is mutter. So Tosus says, look, I understand. He disagrees with the concept of mechashmei avodah l'avodah. And since, because with the shechita itself, I wasn't thinking about avodah zarah, therefore the animal is not takrovis avodah zarah. I do understand that. But can we just for a moment pause and just look at the guy who shechted the animal? Like, what kind of guy are we talking about? We're talking about a guy who is more than ready to be over the avodah zarah. Meaning it just happens to be that with this particular shechita, he wasn't over the avodah zarah. But he's forecasting how he's going to be zorik the dam to avodah zarah, meaning he's not the most religious individual. Or you could say he's religious, just wrong religion. But in other words, he's... Look at the guy who shechts the animal. Now we know the halacha is that if a mummer who shechts an animal, the shechita is not a good shechita. So when Reish Lakish says over here the animal's muteris, it's a little bit strange because muteris, what does that mean? The guy who shechts the animal is not compliant. He's not on the reservation. He's off the reservation. So how can you tell me that the shechita was a good shechita? So Tosus entertains a couple of suggestions over here. One says Tosus is maybe when it says muteris, it means muter b'hana. Not that you're allowed to eat the animal, but it's not takrovis avodah zarah. Or maybe Tosus says that maybe this is a first-time offender, and that doesn't make him a mummer. Anyway, see Tosus on the very top over here, who grapples with that question. Anyway, let's stay focused on the Gemara, on the Shach Levatari of the Gemara. So where are we right now? Again, we are right now trying to flip the entire model, where Hishtachavai is a general rule, and Zvicha is just a specific point that the Torah wants to make. What's the point of a specific point of zvicha? The mechashmei avoda l'avoda. Now, all this would work only if you subscribe to the idea that you are mechashev me avoda l'avoda. But if you don't subscribe to that idea, so then we're back to what are you going to do with the pasuk of zoveach? And the Gemara makes exactly this point. We are on the very top of Samach Aleph, Amin Aleph. Hanich l'Rav Yochanan l'Reish Lakish b'Yikra. Now, that's good for Rav Yochanan, but according to Reish Lakish, so I need a pasuk, meaning I don't need a pasuk according to Reish Lakish. Maskel l'Rav Papa l'Rav Yochanan b'Yikra. Now, the Gemara says, now, according to Rav Yochanan, what do you mean? I don't need the pasuk. Rav Yochanan l'Baikra. According to Rav Yochanan, I don't need the pasuk because Ad kan loka asa Rav Yochanan ela behema. So the Gemara says, look, Rav Yochanan's telling us that the animal's no good. But aval gavra lo bar katal lahu. But as far as the person's concerned, I would have suggested that look, the animal itself mechashmei avodah l'avodah. The animal itself is takrovis avodah zarah and is therefore going to be aser. But what about the person? I don't know. Not necessarily. And I still need the pasuk now to come and teach me that the person himself is going to be chayiv misa. So even according to Rav Yochanan, I still need the pasuk of Zoveach Lelim Yechram. Maskev l'Rav Achabered Ravika l'Reish Lakish mi Vayikra. Now according to Reish Lakish, do I really need the pasuk? Ad kan l'kash sharei Reish Lakish ala behema. Look, what happens? I'm shechting an animal. And with the shechita, I have no intent to be over to avodah zarah, but I do forecast, however, that when I collect the blood, it's going to be sprinkled for avodah zarah. Or when I get the fat of the animal, I'm going to be makter the fat for avodah zarah. So again, mechashav l'avodah l'avodah. So what did Reish Lakish say? The animal is not takrovis avodah zarah, because he does not subscribe to this idea of mechashav l'avodah l'avodah. But the Gemara says, but still, I can make the argument that the person himself is going to be chayv misa. How do you make that argument? Gemara says it's very simple. Remember, we've discussed this a number of times in Avodah Zarah. A person bows down to the mountain. Okay, he heads over to the Grand Canyon. So moved by the experience. And then he thinks, oh, the Grand Canyon, oh, it has power. It has deity power. So he starts bowing down to the Grand Canyon. So, is he an Ovid Avodah Zarah? Sure. Is the Grand Canyon going to be affected?
No.
In other words, we have a halacha, we have a drasha, Rashi over here quotes it, that the only thing that becomes status of Odeh Zarah is only metaltlin, only those things which are movable, idols. But the mountain itself, any terrain, any karka, does not get status of Odeh Zarah. So it's very easy now to suggest that according to Reish Lakish, is the animal takrovitz of Odeh Zarah? No, because he doesn't subscribe to this idea of mechashem avodah l'avodah. Is the person who did this, is he an Ovid of Odeh Zarah? Sure. Yeah, no problem at all. So the harmot of Avodah, the Ovda Besayef. Okay. Amalei Rav Acha Midifta L'Ravina L'Amad Dekam Alei Rav Barachan L'Abaye Eima Yotzi Shachav L'Amad Al Kulo. Again, the Gemara now goes back and tries to test this hypothesis. Again, everyone understand the hypothesis is just a hypothesis. It's not accurate, it's not correct, it's not the conclusion. The conclusion, as we started off the daf today, was that the Zovech Lelem Yechram, that's the klal. The Ishtachavaya, that's the Yatza, that's the exception, that's the exclusion. But the Gemara is entertaining that the Ishtachavaya is a klal, and the Zovech is the exception. And what is it, why is it the exception, or what is it coming to teach me? So the Gemara just discussed Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Mechash Me'avodah L'Avodah, etc., etc. But right now, we're still in this suggestion of the Gemara that Ishtachavai should be the klal. So the Gemara says, if that's true, Eche Yavdu L'Mutemai. Now, there is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh of Eche Yavdu that if you want, and I'm going to say want to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, you of course don't want to be. But in other words, if you're going to successfully be Ovid Avodah Zarah, you got to mimic it the way they do it. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the pasuk over there is coming to exclude somebody who defecates. Somebody who defecates towards the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says Mishachavai Nafka. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I already know. Again, if Mishachavai was the klal, I already would have known that defecation would not result in a capital punishment because Ma Mishachavai Derech Kibud Af Kol Derech Kibud. Because Ishtachavai would tell us that the only way that a person would be chayv misa if he does so in an honorific fashion. Defecation is not honor. So the Gemara says, I still would have the following havamina. Let's say it's markulus. Now markulus, how is it worshipped? By throwing stones at it. So already the means of worshipping markulus is a degrading manner. So I say, okay, fine, you know what? I'm not going to throw stones at it, but you know what? Okay, I'll defecate. Because, you know, right. Okay, fine. So, and the Havamina would have been that, look, it already is a degrading manner in which it's worshipped. And the person just chose another degrading manner in which to worship it. So, therefore, I might have thought that that would be work. And from the Ishtachavai, it speaks nothing to this idea. Because the Ishtachavai is just telling me that if I worship it in a manner which is kavod, you're going to be chayv. This is not kavod. But to begin with already, the manner in which it's worshipped is not kavod. So then where do I know? How will I then learn that that this other degrading manner is not considered avodah zarah? So sakadach amina hol v'avodah so bizayinu af kol bizayon kamash malan. So that's what that's what the pasuk of Echayav is coming to teach me. Okay. Ela Adam Rebbe Lazar Minayin Lazovech Behem La Markel Shu Chayav Shenemar V'lo Yizbechu Od Ez Divchem Lasiirim. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's say Ishtachavai was the base pasuk that teaches me all these halachas. What about the halacha of Rebbe Elazar? The halacha of Rebbe Elazar is that if I take an animal and shecht it towards Markelus. Now again, the way to worship Markelus is to throw stones at it. But if I decide that, you know what, I'm skipping on the stone throwing today. I'm not in the mood, but rather I'm going to shecht the carbon towards Markelus. Is that avodah zarah? Yes. Not only is that avodah zarah, chiyuv misa avodah zarah. So how do I know that? So he quotes the pasuk: Lo yizbechu od ez divcheihem la seirim. Don't shecht carbonus anymore to the seirim. Seirim are the false gods. So imenu in le kadarka dechiv eicha yavdu taneu in le shlo kadarka. Now, if this is the way that it's normally worshipped, I know that already, that one is subject to the death penalty. So it must be Shaloka Darka, that this is, that you're shechting it, and this shechting is an unusual manner, like the example that we just gave, where it's markerless, where normally you throw stones at it. Here, I decide, you know what? I'm not going to go with the design manner of worship. I'm going to go with an unconventional, but I choose for unconventional shechting. How do I know that I'm going to be chayv misa? So I learned it from the pasuk of Lo Yizbichu Od et Zivchem La'si'irim. Again, if this entire sugya should be under the umbrella of if Hishtachavaya served as the klal, if it served as a general rule, so Shloka Darkim Hishtachavaya Nafka. So we would have learned it out from Hishtachavaya. So the Gemara says Hasam Ba'zovech La'achis. So the Gemara says no. Even if Hishtachavaya were the model for all of Avodah Zarah, I could still construct a scenario in which I shechted an animal to Avodah Zarah, and Hishtachavaya doesn't cover it. Why? Why wouldn't Hishtachavaya cover it? Because the Gemara gives the following scenario where I'm shechting the animal lahachis, meaning, it goes like this. It's a funny scenario. Again, for a lot of Avodah Zarah, you and I don't understand it, or I'll certainly speak for myself. Because we don't, in other words, none of this tempts us. Okay. The other Averas tempt us plenty, but Avodah Zarah doesn't tempt us much, and so it's hard for us to relate. But the Gemara has the following scenario. Let's say that I don't believe in the Avodah Zarah. Okay? And what do? I shecht an animal for the Avodah Zarah, but not because I really have any belief in the Avodah Zarah. I really don't care for it. But right now I have theological issues with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm angry at Hashem. And so you know what? I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? Just to show you my discontent with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I'm going to shecht this animal to the Avodah Zarah. Not because I really care for the Avodah Zarah, I really don't. And right, you and I know it's nothing. But this is just to express my displeasure with you, I'm shechting to Avodah Zarah. Now, let's see if we can wrap our heads around this Gemara. If Hishtachavaya were the general rule in terms of teaching me that any time that I honor an Avodah Zarah, I'm going to be subject to Misa over here, I'm not honoring the Avodah Zarah because it's not really my true intent. I'm even declaring it. I really don't care for the Avodah Zarah. This is all about my protest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So would Hishtachavaya cover this Avodah Zarah? No, because it's not Bederech HaKavod. So therefore, how would I then know that a person would be Chai of Misa for such an action? So that's Zovech, that comes from the Pasuk of Lo Yizbichu Od Zivchem La'si'irim. Okay, so that's why I would need another Pasuk for this particular scenario. Okay, I'm going to take a breath with that. Is the conclusion of that sugya. So again, the entire Gemara over here, I know the trickiest part of this particular sugya that we just did is that the entire sugya was all founded on what if. What if Hishtachavaya was the klal and Zoveach was the exception? And that was and in other words, it didn't speak to the general principle and it was just like existed on its own little island. What if? But as we know now, you go back to the beginning of the Brisa, go back to the beginning of sugya, it's not the conclusion. Meaning the conclusion is Zoveach is the klal. That tells me that any time I shecht a carbon to Avodah Zarah, that's a chiyav misa. Whether it's kedarka, whether it's shelo kedarka, and it's not just shechita, but it's all the avodas panim that is done towards an Avodah Zarah, even if it's eno darka bekach, one is going to be subject to misa. And then what about the other pasuk regarding shtachavaya? That's the yatsa, that's the exception, which means that it's bowing and only bowing. That one would be subject to the death penalty. If one were to hug, kiss, dress, do anything else which is derech kavod to the Avodah Zarah, again, it's asur. I say that from the beginning. I'll say it at the end of the sugya. It's absolutely asur, obviously. The only thing is, it is not subject to the misa bidei adam. Adkan. That takes us to the first sugya of today. And now we start the second sugya of today. Second sugya of today has a great little introduction. Rav Amnuna is Irkasu Leiture. Rav Amnuna lost his ox. Pagabe Rabba, and he meets up with Rabba, and Ramale Masisana Dade. And while looking for his lost ox, he says, you know what? I'm bothered by Yastir and Mishnayos. I love it. He doesn't let life distract him. Meaning, and because really that's all life is. Life is just a distraction. Meaning we should be focused on Torah all the time. And then what happens is life. Life happens. Mm-hmm. And you get distracted. And these Amoraim, there's a reason why they're Amoraim. They don't get distracted by life. Okay, so he's looking for his ox. That's really nice. Okay, I gotta look like I really care about my ox. But really what he cares about is learning and, okay, good. It's great Musa. Anyway, here's what bothers him. There's a Mishnah on Samach Aleph, meaning, sorry. There's a Mishnah on Samach Hamad Aleph in Sanhedrin. That's our Mishnah. And there's a Mishnah coming up on Samach Zayin. Now, if you were to peek ahead to the Mishnah on Samach Zayin, so you'll know, and we're going to get there a week from today, so you'll know that the Mishnah on Samach Zayin talks about Mesis. It talks about a person enticing another person to be over to Avodah Zarah. When do you get hit with the capital crime of Mesis? Not only, at the point of agreement. When you say, to borrow an expression my mother uses, d'accord. So when you're right, you speak it. So when the moment you say great idea, so the Mishnah on Samach Zayin says now you are considered to have been enticed to be over to Avodah Zarah, and you are now subject to the death penalty. Meanwhile, what do we learn in our Mishnah? You're only going to be subject to the death penalty when you're oved Avodah Zarah, when there's an action point of actual service towards the Avodah Zarah. And so what we have seemingly is a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah on Samach Zayin. Our Mishnah talks about Avodah being the point of Misa Bidei Adam, and the Mishnah on Samach Zayin talks about even just simply agreeing verbally. What a great idea. Let's be over to Avodah Zarah. I'm on board. Already there, a person is going to be subject to the death penalty. And that seemingly is a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on. And the Gemara today is going to be giving half a dozen different approaches to understand our Mishnah versus the Mishnah later on. Okay, so that's the second sugya of today. And with that, we'll stop at that point in time. It covers a good part of Amud Beis. Let's begin. So let's just set up the question in the Gemara again. Tanan ha'oved avodas kochavim oved in omer lo. If you are oved, so then you're subject to the death penalty, but not any time before that. Ve'anan tanan. And meanwhile, the Mishnah on Samach Zayin says ha'omer e'avor e'lech e'avod e'lech ve'e'avod ne'lech ve'na'avod. The Mishnah on Samach Zayin talks about agreement. What a great idea. Yeah, let's go. I love it. Let's be over to Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnah there says, the moment you verbalize agreement, the moment you sign on, that's it. You're subject to the death penalty. So, Amar Leh, Be'omer Inim Mekabel Alai Ela B'Avodah. So the first approach of the Gemara is, I'm not sure if I would say the easiest approach, but certainly an approach, is that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the person does not fully commit himself to the Avodah Zarah until he actually worships it, until he does an Avodah. Meaning, basically, he says, the Gemara says this, basically, he says, in our Mishnah, I'm not a believer until I actually do an Avodah. Then I'll be a believer. Okay. And so, therefore, there's no steer between our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on. The Mishnah later on, when he commits himself and says, yes, I'm on board, okay, so he committed. And therefore, he's going to be chayev. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, is only talking about a case where he's not fully committed, he's tepid, and only when I worship, then and only then, am I committed. Okay. Rav Yosef Amar, Tanai Shekalta Me'ama Tanaihi. So Rav Yosef says, oh, come on. It's a Machlokas HaTanayim. Meaning, the two opinions reflected in our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on are really reflective of two different Tanayim. If the person says Bove Avduni, let's go and let's worship. Now, over here, what is he asking to worship? Well, it's very simple. In other words, instead of pointing to any particular Avodah Zarah, he points to himself and says, you know what? Enough with worshiping these idols. I got a better idea. Okay? Let's worship me. Okay? All right, fine. What a brilliance. Just brilliance. So, Meir Mechayv Rav Yehuda Poter. Now, Hecha Dapachu Kuleyama Lo Pligi Dichsiv Lo Sasa Lecha Peso. So the Gemara says, now, if we're talking about an actual Avodah Zarah itself, so there's no subject to a Machlokes, the Pasuk says, Lo Sasa Lecha Peso. Ki Pligi B'dibur Ba'alma. Over here, we're not talking about where they actually worship, but we're talking about just simply a verbal commitment. What a great idea. Worship you, love it. Okay, where do we sign up? Okay, now Rabbi Meir Savar Dibur Milsehi, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Dibur Lav Milsehi. So this is now how Rabbi Yosef is setting it up. that the Tanaim are arguing over whether or not Dibur is significant, yes or no. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that, sorry, let's start with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, Dibur Milsehi, that a verbal commitment is significant. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Dibur Lav Milsehi, and Rabbi Yehuda says that a verbal commitment is not significant. Okay. And what the Gemara now is suggesting, what Rav Yosef is suggesting, is that that machlokas is really a resolution of our Mishnah and the Mishnah on Samach Zayin. Our Mishnah that says that you have to do avoda, that is Rabbi Yehuda. That verbal commitment by itself is insignificant. And the Mishnah on Samach Zayin that talks about a verbal commitment and one be subject to the death penalty because of a verbal commitment, that's going like Rabbi Meir. But then Rav Yosef takes a moment to think about it a little bit more, and Rav Yosef says, nah. I'm not saying good pshat, and he knows it, and he admits it. Rav Yehuda, even with a verbal commitment, will view it as being significant, and I know that because the Tanya we have a brisa. Rav Yehuda Omer lo olam enochayv ad sheyomer avod elech veavod nelech venaavod. The brisa says very clearly that according to Rav Yehuda, a verbal commitment is significant. B'may kemifli b'meisus laatzmo v'amri lay in kemifligi. Over here, the sticking point in this particular discussion is very specific. And again, it goes back to what's being worshipped over here. Not the keys, not the pens, me. Let's worship me. So I'm proposing right now that we do worship Avodah Zarah, and the idol is me. I'm the idol. Okay. And now, the response of the people are, or the person is, great idea. So now, is this, and everyone's in agreement that a verbal commitment is a verbal commitment. But in this particular context, here's the debate, and the Gemara spells it out beautifully. Mar Savra Mesis Atzmo Shmi Alei, V'Indika Amr Alei Kushtahu. The yes over here is really an honest yes, meaning that, and that would reflect the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says that, yeah, when they say yes, let's worship you, they're genuinely saying yes. Mar Savra Mesis Atzmo Lo Shmi Alei. Meima Amre, Maishna, Iu, Minan, Didan. V'in Dika Amre, Achuche Ale. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, come on. You want to try to convince me that we're going to worship the sun, the moon? Okay. Those are things which have mystical and mythical significance, and maybe you can get me on board for that. But worship you, wait a second. As long as we're having a human being worshipped, and as long as we're speaking about candidacy of who should be worshipped, you know what? I have a better idea. Instead of worshipping you, why don't we worship me? So, which exactly. Why not me? So what Rav Yehuda is objecting to is not that a verbal commitment is insignificant. No, verbal commitment is significant. But as long as the object of worship is a person, well, I can't think of a better person though to worship than me, right? Let it be me. And even though you say yes, you know what the yes is? The yes is steeped in sarcasm. In other words, the person says, let's worship me. And I say, and hopefully I'll give you the proper intonation. Sure. Yeah. Great idea. Let's worship you. And you saying yes, but you're not really saying yes. Achuch, the Gemara says it beautifully. The indica amri, the yes that you're saying, achuchi Allah. It's nothing more than I'm making light of the fact that, yeah, sure, what a great idea. Let's worship you. Brilliant. What a chacham. Okay. Now, so Rav Yosef doesn't like his approach. Rav Yosef now is giving another approach. So what is the now new approach of Rav Yosef? Again, let's set it up. Our Mishnah says, on Samach Amud Beis, that the only time that a person would be chayv misa is when he is actually oveid. The Mishnah on Samach Zayin says that a verbal commitment is significant enough where the person is going to be chayv misa. Okay, so the Mishnahs are at odds with one another. So here now is Rav Yosef's next answer. Now again, I'll number this number three. I did number it number three, but he kind of rejected the second answer. So okay, anyway, umasisin kam biyachid anisas kam birabim anisasim. So an individual versus a group. Yachid lo mimlach v'tay basrei rabim mimlach v'lo tay basrei. It speaks to human psychology. If an individual says yes, meaning he's speaking to me one-on-one, and I agree. So once it's a one-on-one proposal, and it's a one-on-one verbal commitment, so you know what? I'm really on board. However, if I'm part of a group, so we know that a group mentality, so you say yes because the group is saying yes. But hopefully, eventually, and it's very possible that you realize, you know what? It's really, I'm just following the crowd right now. And it's not really, I don't really believe it. And you see people when they're out of certain social groupings, so then they come to their senses. They realize, this is just a group issue. Amar Rav Yosef mina amin ala dichsev. And Rav Yosef says, in this distinction between an individual versus a group, I love this distinction. And not only do I love it, I see it in the psukim. The Torah says, lo sav alav lo sishma ilav ha'ava v'shamachayav. The pasuk actually speaks about an individual. When an individual commits or makes a verbal commitment to the Mesis, the Mesis says, let's be over to Avodah Zarah. And you say, great idea. And it's one-on-one. That verbal commitment will result in a Misa Bidei Adam. As opposed to when you're with a group and you complied, that's not a real compliance. That's just peer pressure.
Question. The fact that you're just making a verbal commitment, there's no action, so there's punishment.
And that's the stira. That's why there's a stira. The Mishnah Samach Zayin says that you're going to be Chayv Misa. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the problem. Yes. Eisvei Abayi Mishanei Beni says to Rambam, he says to Yachiv Atanya. No, Abayi says I don't hear this distinction based on the following brisa. The brisa says Ki Yisischa Achicha Beni Mecha Echad Yachid Hanisays VeEchad Rabim Hanisasim VeOtzi Akasav Yachid Mechal Rabim Rabim Mechal Yachid. Now, the Torah does speak about the individual. The Torah also speaks about a group. When we talk about a group, we have a name for that. It's called Ira Nidachas. But it's the same basic idea with two notable exceptions, and the Bryce here speaks it out. Yachim Mechal Rabim Lachmi Al Gufo Lahakal Mamono, and Rabim Mechal Yach Lahakal Al Gufo Lahakmi Al Mamono. So, what are the differences between enticement of an individual versus enticement of a group? And again, I say group over here, I really mean city, and Ira Nidachas. Basically, it's like this. For an individual, what's the death penalty? Skila. What about your money? Your money is not taken away from you. It will go to the next generation. Your next of kin will inherit. When it comes to Ira Nidachas, what's the death penalty? Sayef. A lower level death penalty. What about the money? Money's destroyed. Brought into the center of the city and destroyed. So by an individual, Hasasa, it is Machmer on your body, Mikel on your money. By a group, Hasata, so it's Mikel on your body. Mikel, by the way, you know, the kula is, you don't get a harsher death penalty. You get a lighter death penalty. So the kula over here, I don't know if the person is going to really see it as being a kula, but it is. And it's a chumra on your money because your money is going to get destroyed. But notes Abaye, Baha Milsa Hu Deshani, Ava B'chol Milika Adadininu. The Bryce is noting the differences. These are the only differences. In all other respects, they're the same. And clearly what you see over here is there's no distinction between a single individual being enticed versus a group being enticed. El Amar Abaye Kamenisus Mi Piatzma Kamenisus Mi Piachirim. Abaye gives a solution, which quite frankly I thought was really the solution from the beginning, meaning when I first presented with this issue, I thought like Abaye, okay, good for me, I guess. But anyway, who's enticing? If nobody else is enticing and you thought of this on your own, so that's our Mishnah. That's the Mishnah Samach Amud Beis. Okay, meaning that right now you had it in your head, nobody put the idea in your head, nobody planted it, nobody's trying to persuade you. You had the idea in your head, I'm going to be over to Avodah Zarah. When are you going to be Chayev? When you actually do it. The Mishnah Samach Zayin is talking about where others planted the idea in your head and you agreed. Simple. When you yourself come up with the idea, so there's a chance that you'll reconsider. When other people are encouraging you, hey, come, let's go, and you say yes, and you're committed. And Abaye says, and again, it's really the pasuk. The pasuk says, don't listen to him, don't get enticed by him. Meaning that the moment somebody else comes over and says to you, let's go, and you say, great idea, that's it. You are now going to be chayev. And the Gemara now is going to be giving two more answers. Rav Amar Yidiv Yidiv Menisis Min Pi Acherim Ha Adam Le Kach Ochelis Kach Shoseh Kach Metiva Kach Meria Ha Adal Amar Le Kach Ochelis Kach Shoseh V'chulei. Rav's answer is as follows. The difference between the Mishnah on Samach and the Mishnah on Samach Zayin is that the Mishnah on Samach, no marketing. No marketing. You just simply say to a person, hey, let's be over to Avodah Zarah. And you say, sure. And there was no promotion that was done, right? No 20% off. No, I'm embellishing. No, this is the best idol. You have no idea how good this idol is. You got to see this for yourself. Come with me. He can do this. He can do that. And you promote the heck out of the idol. So that's the Mishnah on Samach Zion. Our Mishnah, no promotion. So if there's no promotion, so you say, yeah, sure, no problem. But you could change your mind. The Mishnah on Samach Zion, where there was promotion, and you're so excited by all the things that this idol was reported that it could do, so you're not going to change your mind. The Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh has a description of don't get turned on by the idols that live far away and don't get turned on by the idols that are close by. Why does the Torah talk about krovim rechokim? Hachi kamalei mitivasam shekrovim atalimid al tivasam sherechokim. Look, we have a great expression. The grass is greener on the other side. Now, you know, here's the truth. It's not greener, right? We think it is, but it's not. And the Gemara says, and you know by idols, it's very simple. How do you know that the idols that are in the Far East have no power? Take a look at the idols that are close by. The idols close by, do they have any koach? No. So in other words, just simply take what you know and apply it to something far away. Now, in your mind, you'll construct all these, you know, all these great machinations of, oh my gosh, the idol in the Far East, oh, they're so good, right? They must be. Why? Because you don't see them, because you don't know them. Get to know the idols that are close by, and you'll realize these have no koach, and the ones far away have no koach as well. Now, my love, da'amalei kach ochel, kach shoseh, kach mitiva, kach miriyah shmamina. Now, why would you have thought otherwise? It must be because somebody came in from the Far East and said, you know what? I know these idols here have no power, but come with me. I'm telling you, my idols, oh, they're so good. Here's what they can do, and I got a story about this, and I got a story about that guy, and he's miraculous. Just fantastic idol. So you see from the context of the Pesukim that the Mesis, where a person signs on board, is where it was promoted. Okay, that's Rava's answer. And finally, one more answer, Rav Ashi Amar Sefer B'Yisrael Mumar. By the way, there's going to be one more answer after this. I didn't even see my own numbering. Okay. Rav Ashi is of the opinion that the Mishnah Samach Zion is talking about where he's Yisrael Mumar, meaning he already has indications that he likes Avodah Zarah. He already has been serving other Avodah Zarahs. And so now you say, let's go. And he says, yes. Do you know why? Just with the commitment, he's going to be Chayiv? Because he's already been committed previously to other Avodah Zarahs. Ravina Marlo Zuav Zukatani. And Ravina gives one other possible suggestion, and that is the Mishnayos build one on top of another. Our Mishnah says that if you're over to Avodah Zarah, you're going to be chayev. The next Mishnah says, I'll do one even better. Meaning, I'll tell you even a bigger chiddush, that even a verbal commitment to Avodah Zarah, one is going to be chayev. So it's not that the Mishnayos are being soser one another, it's just that we have one chiddush, and then the next Mishnah gives us even one chiddush more. Okay, let's pause. There are two sugyas that we did in the course of today's daf. The first sugya was Menahani Mili, how do I know these halachas of being Zovech to Avodah Zarah, Hishtachavai to Avodah Zarah, to the exception and exclusion of hugging and kissing Avodah Zarah? Where do we know that from? The Psukim, the Drashas, what's the Klal, what's the Yotzei Min HaKlal? And then the second sugya that we did today is trying to resolve the stira between the Mishnah and Samach versus the Mishnah and Samach Zayin. The Mishnah and Samach says that worshipping results in Misa b'dei Adam. The Mishnah Samach Zayin says a verbal commitment results in Misa b'dei Adam. How do I resolve that? The Gemara gave, I counted seven, but I know Rav Yosef really shouldn't be counted as two, but seven different approaches in the Gemara in terms of how to resolve the stira.